Turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. For the last month, we've been looking at impacting our world for Christ. And we've specifically looked at what we must do if we really want to impact our world for Christ. And we've looked at the lives of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we've learned that if we want to impact our world for Christ, we must develop godly convictions. We must pray fervently. We must stand courageously. And lastly today, we must act faithfully. Daniel chapter 6. Faithfulness is the internal script that will develop and determine our response to failure, to mistreatment and pain. Faithfulness reaches into every facet of our lives. It is far more reaching than our talent, our education, our background, or our network of friends. Faithfulness is a lot like water. It seeps in and out of the cracks of our lives. And when faithfulness is lost, all is lost. King João V of Portugal paid almost a quarter of a billion dollars during the 18th century for the two words, Rei Fidelissimo, most faithful king. In exchange for this exorbitant sum of money, the king won the right to display these two words in his title. This extravaganza, however, exhausted all the wealth Portugal had extracted from Brazil up until this point. And when the king died, having no money in the treasury to bury him decently, they had to take up a public collection in order to give him a decent burial. Suffice to say that faithfulness cannot be bought. Not a title that you can hang on your name. Rather, it's about who we are, our being. It's not about what we do, our doing, because being is much deeper than doing. It relates to our character. It relates to that which we are and how we make a life. It has to do with intangibles. Objective yardsticks and impressive awards and titles cannot measure the kind of people we become down inside. Of the two, being will ultimately outdistance doing every time. It may take half a lifetime to perfect, but hands down, it is far more valuable. It's far more lasting. It's far more inspiring, and it is more impactful. Daniel acted faithfully. Daniel is one of those biblical characters we usually associate with just one event. For Daniel, it was the lion's den. But we've learned over this past month that there was much more to Daniel's life than just the lion's den. Instead, we need to remember him because of the bottom line message of his life. And for Daniel, it was faithfulness. It seeped out of every corner of his life. In fact, it could be his middle name. It was the reason why he was thrown in the lion's den for the first place. The story of Daniel communicates that sometimes life throws us a curveball. Often when we least expect it. And sometimes it shatters our face. Our faithfulness will determine how we respond. First thing that I'd like you to notice today is that faithfulness distinguishes people. Faithfulness distinguishes people. King Darius, you'll notice, is not a Babylonian. In this story, we learn that Nebuchadnezzar is already dead. His son, Belshazzar, is no longer king. Why? Because he was so prideful. He was so arrogant. He thought that he was greater than God. He thought that he had amassed all of these riches and his kingdom and his power, because of his own work and his own greatness. And so that story, we didn't get a chance to look at it in this series. Maybe later we'll look at it. But the story goes that one night in a great party that he was throwing, God's hand appears and writes on the wall, many, many, tekeleparson. His kingdom would be taken from him that very night, and it's exactly what happened. The Medo-Persian Empire invaded Babylon and killed the king and took over the kingdom. And in this moment in our story, we find that King Darius, The Medo-Persian king is now reigning in Babylon, and Daniel is still there. Daniel started at 15 years old during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. He continued through the reign of his son, and now about the age of 80, he is still serving in Babylon now under the reign of King Darius. And King Darius decides to set 100 rulers over different parts of the kingdom under himself. Then he planned for three to be placed over these rulers to which they would be accountable. And he placed Daniel first of these three. Why? Because verse 3 tells us an excellent spirit was in him. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3. An excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Daniel was a distinguished man. He was above reproach. He could be counted on. He lived a clean life. He did his work. His private life was compatible with his public image. He willingly followed God, even at high personal cost. There was a survey recently done of nearly 1,500 managers from around the country in a study sponsored by the American Management Association. They asked the following open-ended question. What values, personal traits, or characteristics do you look for and admire in your superiors? More than 225 values, traits, and characteristics were identified, and they were then reduced to 15 categories, and the most frequent response was integrity, is truthful, is trustworthy, has character, has convictions, is faithful. Daniel was a prototype of that kind of individual. It is what separated him from others and impacted the lives of others around him. Faithfulness distinguishes people. And if you want to impact this world for Christ, then you must act faithfully. Faithfulness distinguishes people. Second, faithfulness is always tested. Daniel being first didn't set well with these rulers. In verse 4, it tells us, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. In his time, Daniel's enemies put a tail on him. They followed him. They spied on him. They put his faithfulness to the test. They searched through his personal effects. They could dig all they wanted, and Daniel came out smelling like a rose. Daniel was put to the test, and he passed. Faithfulness is put to the test every single day. At work, we'll be tempted to fudge on expense reports, to manipulate figures, to tell lies to get a sale, or to compromise our convictions. At school, we'll be tempted to work off someone else's paper, to borrow last year's test, or pay for a research paper. On the road, we may be tempted to watch an X-rated movie in the privacy of our own hotel room, or maybe even take a few towels. At home, we'll be tempted to break a promise, a promise to our children, or not fulfill a commitment to our spouse. On our phones or computers, we'll be tempted to watch that video, look at those pictures, listen to that music. Several years ago, a young, hopeful presidential candidate made a statement to the press. The New York Times quoted Senator Gary Hart from Colorado saying, "Follow me around. I'm serious. If anyone wants to put a tail on me, go ahead. Test me." And the news press did exactly that. And then he was photographed with his girlfriend, Donna Rice, cheating on his wife and family. And it meant the unraveling of a presidential candidate. You say you're a Christian? That will be tested. It'll be tested every time. If you say you're a Christian, and you say you're going to stand for Christ, and you're going to live for Him, that statement, it'll be tested every time to find out if you really are faithful. Faithfulness distinguishes people. Faithfulness is always tested. And faithfulness, thirdly, draws fire. A faithful person is like a towering oak tree, strong and tall, but it's exposed to life's storms. In a thunderstorm, which tree is likely to draw the lightning strike? Lightning, more times than not, will strike the tallest target. Consequently, we can expect that those who stand tallest for God will draw the lightning. Case in point, Daniel. The only thing these rulers could use against Daniel was his faith. In verse 5 it says, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So what happened? These men could not find anything against him, so they devised this plan. In verses 6 through 15, for sake of time now, we won't read all of those. You go back and read the story. In verses 6 through 15, we see that they go to the king and they devise this plan. They appeal to the pride of the king. And they say, "O king, for the next 30 days, no one, because of your greatness and how good you are and all that you can do for them, no one should make a petition of anyone else, and they should not pray to anyone else except you, O king, because you are so great and you can do so good." And so the king thinks to himself, "Hey, I like the sound of that. That's pretty good." And they say, "O king, put it into law. Make a decree that no one do this, and put it into the law under the law of the Medes and the Persians." And as their law went, when a law was made in the Medo-Persian Empire, no one, not even the king, could go back on that. No one could change it. Once it was set into law, it could not be altered. And so the king makes this law, this decree that no one should pray or make any kind of request to anyone save the king. And the punishment for that, if they were to pray to anyone else, if they were to make a request of anyone else save the king for these 30 days, they would be thrown into the lion's den. That was what these men could come up with. There was nothing else, but they knew Daniel was faithful to his God. So it says in verse 16 that the king made this commandment, and when it was found, what did they find? Daniel didn't really change anything. He just went about his normal routine, going into his room 3 times a day, opening up his windows so all could see. He wasn't hiding anything. He would open up his window towards Jerusalem. He would get down on his knees and he would cry out to his God, and he would pray and seek his face. When the men found him in his room praying, "Yes, we've got him. He's broken the king's decree," and they took it to the king, and the king knew at this moment he'd been duped. He'd been tricked. Daniel was a good man. He was a faithful man. The king didn't want to throw him in the lion's den, but he had made this decree, and it could not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. And so in verse 16 it says, the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Daniel was not in the lion's den because he had done something wrong, but because he had acted faithfully. And it's a bit confusing, isn't it? Because we're under the impression that when we do what is wrong, we'll be punished for it. But when we do what's right, we'll be rewarded for it. And that makes good, logical, common sense, but it isn't always true in the world in which we live. That wasn't true according to the story that we looked at last week with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown into the fiery furnace for doing what was right. And here too, Daniel is thrown into the lion's den for being faithful. Sometimes when we do things wrong, we're rewarded as far as this world is concerned. And occasionally when we do what's right, we pay a terrible price for it. Invariably, life throws us a curveball. Professional golfer Tom Watson at an early age had set his heart on being a champion. He also had a personal code of honor firmly in his mind. And in the first state tournament that he had ever entered, he had put down his putter behind the ball on one of the greens. And to his dismay, the ball moved slightly. No one saw it. Of that he was certain. No one. The onlookers, the fans didn't see it. The judges didn't see it. The television crews didn't see it. No one saw it. But he was under great pressure to win. And there was no time whatever to add up the pulses and, or the pluses and minuses of the alternatives. But he knew without hesitation what he must do. He went over to the official and said, "My ball moved." And that action cost him a stroke. And he lost the hole. But Tom Watson placed his personal integrity ahead of his keen desire to win. Daniel was not the last man to suffer for what was doing right. And it cost him to act faithfully. Many times it will cost us to act faithfully. Faithfulness will distinguish you. But you can bet on it that that faithfulness will be tested. It will draw fire. Faithfulness is like a magnet to trials and testing. It will happen. But lastly today, I hope that you understand that faithfulness and true faithfulness also will reflect God's character. Biblical faithfulness finds its source in the nature of God rather than in the behavioral patterns of people. Biblical faithfulness is a reflection of the character of God. Our Heavenly Father and His Son are faithfulness personified. They are not simply pictures of the real thing. They are the real thing. As Daniel acted faithfully, he was merely reflecting the image of God in his life. When Daniel was cast into the lion's den, Darius didn't say, well, hang in there, Daniel. Find a safe corner. You'll be all right. Just hang in till the morning. I'll come back in and check on you. That's not what he said. He actually didn't say anything about Daniel or about what Daniel could do or about what Daniel had done. You see, Daniel's life wasn't about who he was or what he had done or what he could do. His life was all about who God was and what he had done and could do. Daniel's faithfulness was a reflection of God's character. That's why Darius said in verse 16, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." Faithfulness distinguishes people. It's always tested. It draws fire and it reflects God's character. True faithfulness, when people see your life and the life in which you live, and as you act faithfully, it will draw people to Christ. It will point people to God because it reflects His character. And that's really what we're supposed to be. Christians are supposed to be little Christs, images of Him for this world to see. Now, I'm sorry, I told you that was the last point. I do have one more. I'm sorry. I do have one more point, but I'll be brief. Faithfulness distinguishes people. It's always tested. It draws fire. It reflects God's character. But this is the good news for you and me. It's difficult, but faithfulness can be developed. There were three actions from Daniel's life that enable him to act faithfully. And if we put these traits into practice, we too can act faithfully. First, consistently pray to God. In verse 10, if you'll turn back and look at verse 10, you'll see this was not something new. This isn't something that just happened because of this event. It says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house with his windows being open in his bed, in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." This wasn't something new. This is something that goes back to his childhood. He's almost 80 years old, right around 80 years old now. And you can trace this habit. You can trace this routine. You can trace this all the way back When he was a kid, when he was 15 years old, he was doing the same thing when they brought him into Babylon. It was something that he did routinely every day. He sought God's face. He went to him in prayer and had open communication and a relationship with his God. This wasn't something new. This was part of his life and something that enabled him to be able to act faithfully. He consistently prayed to God. He didn't turn to prayer in a panic. He made it his regular habit of life, his daily ritual. It was his first priority, not his last resort. He consistently prayed to God. Second, he continually served God. If you look back at verse 16, when the king made this statement to Daniel, he made a statement of what he saw in his life, what he knew to be true. He said, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually." Nobody can successfully serve two masters. To attempt to do so is to become a fractured person. Daniel would not serve two masters. He would not compromise his convictions. God was first, and he continually served him. And then the last practice that we see in his life that can enable us to act faithfully is that he conscientiously trusted in God. In verse 23, when the king comes that next morning and he hollers down into the lion's den, "Daniel, are you there? Are you awake? Are you alive?" And Daniel spoke back to him. Oh, the king was exceedingly glad. And it commanded, it says verse 23, that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no matter of hurt was found on him. Why? Because he had believed in his God. He trusted in his God. No matter what the circumstance was, no matter how bad it was, no matter how horrible it was. I mean, he was thrown into a den of lions. He didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know that God was going to calm those lions and shut their mouths. But it says, this is past tense, he had believed. He believed on his God. He trusted in him. Regardless of the outcome, Daniel was going to trust God. That takes courage and conviction. It's the ability to choose faithfulness while resisting compromise. And each and every one of us have that ability. Even each and every one of us have that choice to choose faithfulness and resist compromise. He chose to trust God regardless of the outcome. He was willing to lose his place, to lose his friends, to lose his status, because he would trust God no matter what. So was it worth it? Was it worth it? I mean, yeah, now he could say, "Hey, I spent the night in a den of lions and I survived. Nothing happened to me." Was that the big deal? Is that why it was worth it? No. Did it really make a difference? Did Daniel make any kind of impact on his world? Because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the desire to impact our world for Christ. And we've said that in order to do that, we need to develop godly convictions, to pray fervently, to stand courageously, to act faithfully. And in each of the stories that we've looked at, whether it was Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the first story, and Daniel and then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we looked at all of their situations with refusing to eat the king's meat and drink his wine, and they said, "Just give us water and vegetables and test us and see if our God doesn't make us more healthy and stronger than those who are eating the king's meat and drinking his wine." And then with the dream That Nebuchadnezzar said, tell me my dream and the meaning of it. And his wise men couldn't do it and his magicians couldn't do it. And so he's going to kill all of them, including Daniel and his friends. And Daniel and his friends ask for more time to go and seek the meaning to this dream. And so what do? They got on their knees and they prayed fervently. Not only had they stood godly convictions that they had developed, now they are praying fervently. And God gave them the answer to that dream, the interpretation. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when faced with either choosing to worship an idol or remain true to their God, they stood courageously and God brought them through. And they were not burned or killed in the fiery furnace. And we looked at all three of those stories and we asked the question after all three of them, did it do anything? Was there any kind of impact made on the world because of those decisions that they made? And the answer is the exact same as it is when we come to the end of this story today. Was there any kind of impact made on the world? Did Daniel make any kind of impact on his world? Well, let's look at the answer in verses 26 and 27. King Darius makes a decree after he takes all of these men who had tricked him with Daniel. And this decree and this law that they tricked him into making, he threw all of them and all of their families into the den of lions. And then he makes a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. In his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, in his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in the heaven and in the earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Did it make a difference? Did it impact the world? You better believe it did. It caused this heathen king who did not believe in the one and true God. They worshiped multiple gods. And it caused this heathen king to stand up and to praise Daniel? No. To lift Daniel up and say, look how great he is. Look what Daniel has done. No, he didn't do that. You see, Daniel was distinguished by his faithfulness. It was tested. It drew fire. But it reflected God's character. He had developed this faithfulness in his life. And it pointed men to God. King Darius lifted his voice and he praised the God of heaven, the one and true and living God. He stated and made a decree that he was the living God. He was steadfast. His kingdom would not be destroyed. His dominion would be forever. He was the one who delivered and rescued, who worked signs and wonders. He was the great one. He was the true one. Oh, in all of these stories for the last month, in each and every one of them, we have learned that if we will develop godly convictions, if we'll pray to God fervently and stand courageously and act faithfully, we can impact our world for Christ. Do you want to do that today? Do you want to make a difference in your family, in your neighborhoods, in your schools, in your places of work, and around this world? Then it's time that we start developing some godly convictions. It's time we start praying fervently and standing courageously and acting faithfully. And we too can impact our world for Christ.